You're listening to the Parkside Christian Church podcast. Here at Parkside, our mission is to love God, love people, and help others do the same. To learn more, visit ParksideChristian.com.
Good morning, everybody. Really appreciate Matt Desjardins, his leadership, and all that he just talked about. Really thankful for Dale and Aaron being willing to serve as elders. I just want to give a second, if we can give a round of applause to Stan Elder and to Matthew Highfield for serving as elders. And also to their, you know, to their spouses and their kids, because it is a big sacrifice. You're giving up a lot. It's not just one night or a month to elders meetings. You are committing to visiting a lot of people who aren't able to get to church here on a regular basis because they're shut in, they're stuck at home. So it is a lot of work. So super thankful for their leadership, but also the service that they have to church. I have to say, huge thank you. It is good to be back. It is good to be back. I can't tell you how much I appreciated the text messages, the cards, the people that brought food over. We were well taken care of. We are very, very thankful that we all had very mild cases in our family. You know, sometimes sharing is not a good thing. We all ended up with it. And really thankful for modern medicine. We were thankful that we had been able to get the shots and that we were up on all our vaccinations, that we had very mild cases. And we're thankful that we've recovered, and we're thankful that we're back here. I have to be honest with you, though. Talking 2 weeks ago, our focus of the service was on the mighty hand of God and the power that he exhibited. But then on the other side of that contrast was Pharaoh, who ignored all the things the mighty hand of God was doing and pretended like he was still in control. And as I was dealing with COVID 2 weeks ago, I have to tell you, on Monday, I'm texting with one of the staff members, and I said, I'm just being honest with you. The very first thing I did once I saw that positive test is I wanted to pretend like it wasn't real. I just wanted to ignore it. You know, here we are in church talking about, you know, hey, Pharaoh's ignoring reality. He's ignoring what's going on. And I wanted to be like, well, I don't have to pay attention to reality either. It is a very difficult thing, but a very good thing for us to realize that we're not in control. And it's only when we pretend like we're impervious to this world or that we have the power to do whatever we want, we get ourselves into a lot of trouble. And so it's good sometimes, even if we're forced, to stop and step back and say, I'm not in control. God is in control, and I need to trust him even if I don't like my circumstances. For most of us, our lives change so slowly over time that we don't always notice the changes, right? We don't recognize the power of God or God's provision in our lives. What is also true, and you might recognize this, is that sometimes we see the hand of God at work in our lives, but we're so busy that by the time we recognize that God is doing something in our lives, we're already late for our next appointment. And so we just have to be like, well, God, I'll talk to you later about that. I've got somewhere I need to be. Most of us do not stop to celebrate or appreciate what God is doing in our lives. This week, as we go through the End of the Wild series, where we're looking at the Israelites going from Egypt to the Promised Land, for generations, the Hebrews had lived in oppression. They had worked tirelessly on the banks of the Nile River as slaves. How long had they cried out to God for freedom? And how long had they cried out for relief? And today, they are going to stand on the shores of another body of water. They are going to stand on the shores of the Red Sea as they watch God destroy their oppressors. And together, they celebrated and worshiped God. Together, they looked ahead to the adventure God was putting before them. When we see the power of God, it should cause us to stop and to celebrate As we spend time on freedom's shore with the Israelites today, we should also catch that energy, catch that celebration, and celebrate and worship God for what He's doing in our lives. I was super thankful last week that Randy Shivers jumped in and covered for me on Sunday morning, and he did a wonderful job talking about the Passover. We talked about the plagues or the punches that God threw against Pharaoh and the Egyptian Empire and their pantheon of gods. And the last plague, the last heavy punch, was the Passover. Randy shared last week that the angel of the Lord passed over all of Egypt and that there was great wailing in the land. You can get a very vivid picture in your minds of all the Israelite families huddled in their homes with the blood of the lamb over the doorways. And that blood, that innocent lamb's blood over the doorpost was symbolic in a few ways. One, it was looking back to the innocent blood that Pharaoh had shed of the innocent people. When Pharaoh said, you know, every male that's born to the Israelites, to the Hebrew babies, they're going to be thrown into the Nile River. It was symbolic of the innocent blood crying out against Pharaoh. But it was also symbolic of another moment where innocent blood was going to save people. It was foreshadowing the blood of Jesus that was going to be sacrificed for us, that was going to be put over the doorposts of our heart as a sacrifice for us, as a price to be paid for us. We're going to spend some time right now together in communion. And if you didn't grab communion when you came in, we're going to do it a little bit differently today, but we have it in bags just around the room at the black tables. And if you're at home, you can get some communion out. I'm going to give you just a second. But I kind of want to get us to a point where we're all together taking communion together. So I'm going to prompt you through this. Because it was on Passover that Jesus told the disciples that He was their atoning sacrifice. It was when they were remembering the blood over the doorposts and God's rescue plan for them that Jesus said, I am the even greater rescue plan for you. I'm not just rescuing you from Egypt, I'm rescuing you from your sins. And so as we spend time on Freedom Shore today, as we spend time celebrating what God's done, I just want us to do this together. So Parkside, go ahead and open the top of your communion there. And let's pull out this wafer. This represents the bread that Jesus broke for His disciples. And Jesus told His disciples that this represents His body, broken for us. Jesus laid Himself on the line so that our bodies might be whole. Parkside, the body of Christ. And then Jesus took a cup of wine and He said, this is representative of My blood shed for you. Jesus, in all His perfection, was our atoning, our rescuing, our redeeming sacrifice. Parkside, the blood of Jesus shed for you. Please pray with me. God, we come before You. And Lord, we're wanting to celebrate. We're looking at the things that You've done in the past year. And it's marvelous. It's more than we imagined, more than we hoped for. But Lord, we would be foolish if we did not first recognize what You did for us on the cross. You have rescued us in a way that is more incredible than we could have ever dreamed. And it's so undeserved. There's nothing we could do to possibly earn it. But Lord, You have sacrificed Yourself for us. And we're thankful for that, Lord. We're thankful for your rescue of the Israelites in that first Passover. But Lord, we're so thankful that you have passed over our sins. You have forgiven our sins through the blood of Jesus. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. Being rescued is incredible. Something that you don't realize with a lot of rescues, though, is even after you've been rescued, it's not like you're all of a sudden out of the woods, right? If you've been starving in the wilderness and a helicopter comes and picks you up, now you're with other people and you have hope, but you still need a lot of medical attention, right? So today, as we pick up in Exodus chapter 14, where Randy left off last week, the Israelites have been released from Egypt, but we have to remember that there's over a million people trying to get back to their home that they've never been to. They've never been there, and their parents have never been there, and their parents' parents have never been there. They are trying to live as free people, headed to a free place that they've never experienced before, and that's no small task. But in the midst of their escape, Pharaoh changes his mind and decides to pursue the Israelites. He goes, you know what, on second thought, I'm going to go get them and I'm going to make them pay. This had to have been terrifying for them, but God, in this moment in Exodus 14, that if you want to open up, we're going to read together, God suggests to Moses to do something that seemingly defies logic, right? Even though the Israelites are without a military, they're about to discover they are not a people without the power and protection of God. This is Exodus chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and camp near Pi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, there to encamp by the sea, directly opposite Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites did this. At this point, they have been led out of Egypt by Moses, and you've got to think that this has to be a somewhat scattered Exodus out of Egypt, right? You are figuring out where you're going from the person in front of you, and you're finding out any message that's been communicated from the person in front of you, from the person in front of them, or just the tribal leaders, the heads of your group. So there is a trickle-down effect, so everything is going to take longer. There's so many areas for confusion. And at this point of the story, it tells us in Exodus 14 that there was a pillar of smoke that led the Israelites by day, and at night there was a pillar of fire. And so they still see God's provision, God's guidance. But in this moment, God is saying, hey, I want you to put yourself between a rock and a hard place. Go to a spot by the Red Sea that Pharaoh is going to say, I've got them trapped. There's nowhere they can go. There's nothing they can do. Listen to how the Israelites respond to what God has told them to do as they are doing it. It's verse 10. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Is this what freedom's like, Moses? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you'll see the Lord's deliverance, and the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Man, God is about to do something incredible for the Israelites, and we know because we know what happens next, but the poor Israelites, I mean, they just had to have had emotional and physical whiplash. one second God is providing and rescuing, and the next moment he's going, go towards this enemy that wants to destroy you. Moses tells them, the Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. You don't need an army. The only strategy you need is to trust God and be still. And God does what he says he would do. He fights for them. He parts the Red Sea. The Israelites pass through on dry land, and as they stand on the opposite shore, they turn and look back, and the walls of water of the Red Sea that God has pushed back come crashing down on Pharaoh's army, on all of Pharaoh's chariots. And this ends Pharaoh's story in Exodus. This is the end of his story arc. And if you're thinking about this just in literary terms, consider for a moment where Pharaoh starts the story and where he ends the story. At the beginning of this story, Pharaoh didn't recognize the value of human life, and he had other people do his dirty work by dumping babies into a river. How awful, how horrific. But now, at the end of the story, the end of Pharaoh's story, God is hurling him and his army into the sea. Pharaoh and his men are descending not just into the depths of sea, but they're descending into the depths of the underworld, into death itself. And the Israelites, who must have felt like they were dead in Egypt, are now ascending not just out of the Red Sea, but they're ascending onto freedom's shore. How many weeks of this series have we asked the question, when is God going to bring justice for the Israelites? When is God going to bring justice for us? How many years had the Israelite people said, God, when's enough? When is enough pain and suffering for us to experience as their kids were murdered, as their slave labor became even more and more painful? Today, as we read, we see justice, the justice of God being poured out on the Egyptian army. This is the redemption and rescue plan of God, of the Hebrew, or by God, of the Hebrew people that we've been talking about, that God has been promising for weeks. We've read a little bit in Exodus 14, and Exodus 14 is like the story, right? If this was a campfire, Exodus 14 would be the story that everyone would tell, but Exodus 15 is the song. And Exodus 15 is this celebration. The joy led them to celebrate. It says in Exodus 15, verses 20 and 21, that as they turn and see the Egyptian army being devoured by the Red Sea, that Miriam, Moses' sister, picks up a tambourine and everyone follows her lead, and they just erupt into celebration and worship. The joy led them to worship. Listen to their celebration. This is them talking about what God is doing for the Israelites. You, God, will bring them in and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance, the place, Lord, you made for your dwelling, the sanctuary, Lord, your hands established. The Lord reigns forever and ever. It goes from, oh my, this is the day our lives end, to an incredible celebration. Last year in June, we dedicated ourselves first as a leadership and then as a church to live generously with our time, talent, and treasure. We've already talked about this some this morning in the video and what Matt shared as the elders affirmed the budget and our new elders today. I don't know if you remember that time frame last June. If you weren't here last June, I came on stage and I had an hourglass. And I said, what are we going to do with our time? How can we use all of our treasure and all of our talents to take advantage of the time that we have in this hourglass? And we said, let's do it. Let's continually spend the time that we have and pour our treasure, pour our abilities in to blessing others. And we also gave you these little packets of seeds, these wildflowers. We said, we want to be a church that plants seeds. Matthew 9, 35 through 38, or Jesus looks at all of Jerusalem and he says, I want you guys to know that the harvest is plentiful. There are so many people out there that needs God's love, but we don't have enough workers. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send workers out into his field. And we gave you those seeds so you could be mindful of the fact that we want to be a church that plants seeds and waters seeds, that we're present in our community. Parkside, I get so excited when I look at how you are shaping your life, how you're choosing to spend your time, talent, and treasures. And I get so excited when I think just about the thousands upon thousands of seeds that you've planted in some of the simplest, caring ways in the past year. Last year, we launched Live Generously Grants. These grants that we gave to you all that you can apply for on our website. You could apply for one right now, and the application is so simple, you could have the application finished by the time the service is done. But last year, in the first year of Live Generously Grants, we awarded almost $30,000 in Live Generously Grants. We were able to replace nonprofits' roofs so they better be able to use their facility. We helped food networks like the Angel Food Network have more food to better care for their kids and have freezers to be able to store their food longer. We partnered with Sweets and Meats, and we provided Mount Washington Elementary and Sands Montessori, all the staff at both the schools at the end of the year, a meal to just say thank you. Hey, Parkside appreciates you. You love kids like Jesus, and we think Jesus would be very, very proud of that. And that's just a few. We want to be a church that dedicates ourselves to leading our community, our friends and neighbors, out of oppression and the brokenness of sin into the promised land on freedom's shores. In a world where everyone is saying that we're trapped, that in a world where everything is falling apart and that life is too broken to ever be put back together, we want to be the ones saying, my God hasn't forgotten us. All we need to do is be still and know that God will fight for us. We want to be the ones in a world full of sadness that are picking up the tambourines and going, come praise my God with me, because he has done great things. People should see how we celebrate and be drawn into worshiping God with us. What does Freedom's Shore look like at Parkside? What does it look like to live on Freedom's Shore? How do we celebrate God's power as freed people that God has fought for us? It isn't just about being debt-free, but look at what God has done through your all's generosity in the past year. At the start of last year, our mortgage was at $1.6 million. And we said, we have got to get this taken care of so that we're not putting $170,000 every year towards a mortgage, but that we can dedicate that money towards our community and towards sharing grace, the grace of God, in an open hand. And Parkside, praise God, the mortgage as of July 1st will be at $979,000. How much of a praise God moment is that? That is so incredible. What does Freedom Shore look at Parkside? It's not just about being debt-free. It's about being generous right now. We've got the Dollar Club. The Dollar Club is just this really simple thing that we've said, hey, this is the DNA of who we want to be. That every week we want to give money to somebody that is in need and just needs encouragement. And so every week we have given out gifts to our community. I was in an elders meeting last month, and I don't know what the rules are for checking text messages in the midst of elders meetings, but I got a text message and I checked it. I might be in trouble now. But it was from someone that had just delivered a Dollar Club gift. They had nominated somebody they had known, somebody that was in need, and so we gave them a check, and they gave the check to this person. And the person was so overwhelmed by the generosity of a church that they had never been to, that they dropped down to their knees, and they cried. So I said, in the elders meeting, I said, time out, everybody. I just have to share this. And we just celebrated that moment, and we prayed for that person in that moment. Since the start of the Dollar Club, we've given out $93,000. And that's not this moment, hey, pat Parkside on the back. I am telling you, if you're waiting to be generous, if you're waiting to live in a generous way with your time, talent, and treasure, you will always be waiting because there's not a great time. We are not waiting until we're debt-free to be living as people who have the grace of God in our lives. We want to do it right now. What does life on Freedom Shores look like? I just see pictures of people's faces at Parkside. I see the face of people in a Rooted group that have decided, that have committed that, hey, after Rooted, we want to reach our neighborhood with the love of Jesus. I think of another Rooted group that it's a group of ladies that they've spanned three generations of all the people that are in their Rooted group. And even though one of their group leaders has moved to Chicago, they still meet and they still serve and encourage each other with the love of Jesus. I think about small groups in our church that take turns providing meals for foster families week after week after week. I think about when I walk through the buildings on Tuesday nights and I see our grace support groups. I see our grief share groups. And I see the addiction services groups happening throughout the week. I see the faces of kids like Maxwell and Marlo, our neighbors that are friends with our kids, and started coming to Parkside in the midst of last summer and Mega Camp. And just recently, I got to have a conversation with Maxwell about what baptism looks like. And I'm so excited about dunking that kid sometime this summer. I think about kids like Emma and Lucy who write cards to people at Parkside every week saying feel better or letting them know how much they appreciate them. I think about new and young couples at Parkside like the Clarks who came to Parkside and heard about the needs we have in children's and student ministry, and so they're both serving in those areas. I think about families like the Shivers family that have been here for a long time and have three generations of people sharing the love of Jesus in special, special ways. I think about young families like Trent and Rachel, Greg and Kelsey, Jason and Aaron, that every week spend time in our lobby, our worship center, and in our little cafe area with their kids, having simple conversations about faith. And I love what our cafe area says. We don't have it all together, but together we have it all. If their families are anything like my family, we definitely don't have it all together. But man, with grace, we have more than we ever dreamed possible. What does Freedom Shore look like? What does free living, what does generous living look like at Parkside? I think of Mary, who leads our Grief Share group, who proactively reaches out to people at Parkside that have experienced loss to let them know that she has a shoulder they can cry on. And it's not just for Parksiders. It's for people in our community, too. I think about Patty, who met two young ladies at Parkside and is now meeting with them on a regular basis and praying for them and encouraging them and being like a family to them. I think about George, who found out we had missionaries coming back to stay with us this summer and immediately decided he was going to surprise them with a card and an envelope full of money so that they could do something fun while they were back in Cincinnati, even though he had never met them before. When we see the power of God in our midst, it should lead us to celebrate. It should cause us to celebrate. In Parkside, we have so much to celebrate. What we celebrate is what we value, and we may not be debt-free yet, but we are going to be debt-free sooner than we realize. And if we don't start celebrating the goodness of God on a regular basis here when we see it, when we experience it, when we're a part of it, then it won't matter if we're debt-free or not. We won't know what to do with ourselves. Let's start celebrating and worshiping God for every bit of goodness we see
And what we may not realize is that we are already living on freedom's shore. God has rescued us. He's redeemed us. This isn't on the screen. I just want to read this to you as we lead into a time of worship. Who among the gods is like you, Lord? This is Exodus 15. This is the song they sang on the shores of the Red Sea, their enemies destroyed. Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? You stretch out your right hand and the earth swallows your enemies. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. We are already on freedom's shore. Even though we are trying to pursue being a church that more fully embodies the love of Jesus, we are living in freedom because Jesus has redeemed us. Although sin had imprisoned us and enslaved us, although it had broken us and extinguished our hopes and dreams, God had a rescue plan for us in Jesus. Although the devil has pursued us, although the devil has enslaved us, and so many of us have felt trapped by pain, by trauma, by brokenness, God has parted the waters and led us to freedom's shore. And through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, we have been able to turn and watch as our enemy and our sins have been drowned in the depths of the sea. Parkside, we are going to spend the rest of our time, we're going to finish our time worshiping God this morning. And I want you to stand with us and sing with us as we celebrate. Pick up your spiritual tambourine and worship. So go ahead and stand to your feet. We've got so much to celebrate about our present and our future, but what I want us to celebrate this morning is the generosity that God gave us on the cross. Our future has so much of a great adventure. There is so much that lies ahead of us. But we have hope because of what God has done to our past. God is the real reason for us to get up and celebrate and worship. So let's worship God together this morning.
Thanks for listening. You can stay connected with us throughout the week by following Parkside on social media. To learn more, visit parksidechristian.com.